We've been shunned and kicked in the guts. That from a resident of one of the hardest hit cyclone regions. Residents from the Esk Valley in Hawke's Bay met at the weekend to vent their frustration at the lack of progress 2 months on from the extreme weather event. They remain concerned about crime levels in the region, but the new police minister, Ginny Anderson, didn't attend despite being invited. Whirinaki resident Louise Parsons organised the public meeting and is with us now. Hi, Louise.
Hello, Lisa.
How would you kind of describe the feeling of the residents at the meeting, the kind of tone?
Utter frustration, I would have thought. And I think it's getting to the point where people are just tired and getting a bit angry. So we're talking about our community out at East Valley, which was hard hit, but I did visit Pakapai today, and, you know, that's probably worse. The looting that's going on there at the moment is out of control, and, you know, this is an area that is right between Hastings and Napier. You've got to drive through it, drive past it, basically, to commute, and there's still no power. No one's living there because they were so devastated in the floods, and they're just getting looted, and, you know, people are not on their properties, so they aren't sleeping because they're wondering what the hell's going on in their properties. So it's pretty dire.
Louise, tell me a bit more about that. What's been taken? How? Are we talking about rubbish that's been discarded outside a property? Are they entering houses? Give me a bit more detail.
No, they're entering houses because there is no discarded property outside the houses anymore. That's been cleared away. So we're talking about people going into people's sheds and taking things.
Like what? What kind of stuff?
So there's tools that have been salvaged, wheels off cars. There's all sorts of things.
So do you mean flood damaged vehicles? They're taking tyres off them?
So a personal friend of mine that lives there, so her car, they were on the top story of a two-story house. That's where they got rescued from by a boat. And the boat had to literally drive over her car. That's how deep the floodwaters were. And so when they came back, and the floods had subsided, her car was absolutely totaled, of course. And, you know, 2.5 weeks ago, the tyres were taken off it. Her daughter's car was outside. This is quite heartbreaking. Her daughter's car is outside, teenage daughter, first car, and that was flood damaged as well, complete write-off. But then they came back, took the tyres off that. They broke into it on another occasion. And then just last night, the night before the meeting, they came back and vandalized the car. And the heartbreaking bit about that was my friend said to me, we really shouldn't have left it outside. And it's just like, really? Is that what we've come to?
So, Louise, obviously, I'm sure you'll appreciate those cars are written off, right? They're rubbish,
yeah.
They're junk.
Mm.
But tell me, is it that sense of someone violating your space, coming into your property?
Yeah, because this was happening in our community when everyone's possessions were out on the street, and, you know, they're trying to salvage as much personal stuff that, you know, that actually meaningful stuff, because you're right, some of it's not meaningful, it's just stuff. But it's their life, it's their memories, it's their life out on the street. And when you think about people coming into your community and just helping themselves to that, I can't even describe how deplorable that is. It's like, I liken it to vultures picking the bones off a corpse, you know? It's like, have some compassion. And they're not taking them because they're in need. They're taking them because they're then trying to sell this stuff.
How do you know that, Louise? I do know that
because people were arrested taking tools off a neighbour of mine, and these are tools that they'd put out on the street. They took the tools from their pile of debris that they still hadn't been through themselves to see what they could salvage. And these guys were caught down Tai Happy Way trying to, you know, with all the tools on board and a digger of all things on a trailer, which is probably not theirs either.
So you are obviously, there's a gap between the residents and what they see happening in their feelings and what the police and the police minister are saying. And they continue to say that crime is not on the rise where you are.
Yeah.
So what is it that you want? Because there's been talk about the military and the army. Explain what you think they would be useful for.
So kudos to Stuart Nash, because he turned up at the meeting. He was police minister when we had the first meeting. The first meeting was for the politicians that had anything to do with justice and police to be invited. And they all came. No one spoke because they listened. They listened to the community because we kept getting accused of hearsay and rumours. So that's why I did the first meeting, was to say, actually, it's not hearsay. Here's the people. This is who's affected. Here's some real stories. And as a result of that meeting, we got a police caravan out here and in Puketapu, and much more police presence. So it's been, you know, it's actually a bit more comforting to people. But the army should be here. They should be cutting off, like, Parkify today. There's no reason for anyone to be going down that street. And so the army should be deployed to stop people going down those streets. The police can't cope with it. There's not enough resources. So get the army. What are the army doing right now? You know, they should be in our communities, even helping with the cleanup. They should be helping with security. That would make us vulnerable. And I should, when I say us, I'm talking about our community, because my house was not affected. But it would help people to feel safer. They'd be able to sleep at night, knowing that there is some security out there. It's a free-for-all at the moment. And there's no two ways. Labor have lost the fight to crime, because if they think that the stats right now is reflective of the pre-cyclone, then we're in big trouble. We're in big, big trouble as a society.
What about the cleanup? How is that going? Because you see individuals out there cleaning up their individual properties with a wheelbarrow and a spade, and it's weeks on. Is there any call from the residents for some kind of collective cleanup with resources from somewhere else, like the army?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what response are you getting to that, Louise?
Well, so the cleanup response, like, so in East, where I am, in Eastvale and East Valley, Whiranaki, blah, 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 it was a hard hit. And everyone just got out there and did it. If we waited for people to help, it was not going to be coming. And, you know, you've got to be respectful of the rescue first. That was obviously a priority. Second priority should have been security with army deployed. That didn't happen. And now the cleanup. And, you know, the person I visited today, who is in Parkify, she said we've not seen anybody. Until she came to the meeting last night, because I invited the residents of Parkify, they said we've not seen one official, nothing, nobody. And so they're just feeling like, you know, why do we have to do the cleanup? And everyone's just gone out and done it. If it hadn't been for friends and family and the goodness, the kindness of these amazing people that came into our region from all over New Zealand, they'd be stuffed. So, yeah, there needs to be. And there's also funding issues. You know, the funding's not getting through.
Do you know people who have applied to the business fund and not received anything?
Everybody. There's none of it's been paid out yet. And these are people
everybody?
That are running businesses.
That is a sweeping statement, Louise. Do you think nobody has got money from their applications?
Because what's happened is they've got $7 million to hand out, and there's about a need for about $40 million. And so the chamber who are managing it, God love them, because they're trying their very, very best. They're not handing any of it out until they can figure out who gets it and who doesn't. Because who gets to make that decision? I mean, what an awful situation to be in, that they have to decide you get to keep your business, you don't. There's not enough money there. So, no, they've put a halt on it. And so people are trying to pay wages and there's no money.
Thank you for joining us, Louise. Appreciate your time. That's Louise Parsons, who organised that residents meeting with Esk Valley residents and people from the surrounding area who were very badly hit during the cyclone.